This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. The MFG Cast presents Human.
All right, so I guess after my very eventful mid-morning, early afternoon, I take my leave of the office as Janice has turned a couple of people away over the last, you know, couple days, whatever. And I need to, like, take a shower and relax and, like, sleep in my own bed and, like, just, man, it's been a couple of days.
So you're home, you have a lot to think about. So, like, how do you process all this? Do you go home? Do you start, you know, chain smoking a lot of cigarettes, drinking a lot of coffee? Do you jump right into bed? Do you make calls? What do you do in this situation?
You know, I don't know. I probably takes, you know, cab home. He's not going to do a lot of walking around. Gets home, and I think just sort of blithely walks in, like, doesn't, you know, he's got so much stuff going on in his head, he's not necessarily hyper vigilant, you know, because we've had break-ins and now we know it's Paul Blanker that's doing the break-in, and, you know, all of the things that are happening, which maybe, like, after he walks in and the door's open and he's kind of, like, crossed the threshold, he's like, okay. And then, like, closes the door and sort of, like, looks around the room. But yeah, he probably puts on a pot of coffee, you know, rustles around in the fridge to see if he's got the makings for anything, right? Because the breakfast this morning at the diner was unbelievably good. But he's probably getting a little peckish. You'll probably want to turn in early. So yeah, he'll you know, try to put something together. He'll have stopped at the mailbox, kind of just thumb through the mail, see if there's anything that, you know, sticks out as far as that regard. You know, take off his coat, unbutton the shirt, and he's probably got a cigarette going. And he's just stewing on everything, like everything all at the same time. You know, Jane hasn't woken up. Wow, Paul Blanker wrote the letters and murdered an FBI agent, and, like, he's already broken into my house, like, 48 times, or my apartment. You know, how am I going to proceed with, you know, how do I even, I mean, he said he would contact me, but, like, what does that mean? And, like, just everything, like, he just completely, like, just sort of beside himself. Maybe at one point he grabs his notebook, like his little, you know, pad that he writes shit down in, and just starts, like, jotting out notes. You know, Paul Blanker works at the Times or whatever it was. And, you know, he's been in here. He was, you know, just, like, facts and figures, right? Like, I got to figure out how I can put all of these things together.
Okay. I have an idea then. So just because my brain is working a little slow today, if you were to try to think back on some things that you've experienced in the past, what kind of role do you think you'd make for that?
Probably a brains role, I would imagine, right? If I'm trying to think of something.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any skills that would help you out in that kind of situation?
Insight doesn't really work on yourself. If you'll give it to me, I'll roll it. But for, like, it, you know, to try to. So I have investigation, which is a brains related skill.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if maybe you'd, you know, at a minus one, maybe, like, you can't investigate your own head, right? Like, You know, yeah. Investigation is more like, what do I see in this scene? You know, it's almost like more like a forensic thing or like a research thing. Like, you know, I'm acquiring external information, right? As opposed to like, oh, I remember what I had for breakfast last Thursday, right? Like, that's just, do you remember? Do you not remember? Right? Like, it wouldn't even be like a like trivia, right? Like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that would make sense for that.
Actually, you know what?
You can think it does.
Actually, I think investigation actually does work because you're trying to think about this Paul Blanker. You're trying to think about some things that you might try to figure out about him personally, or trying to think of the word like some, you know, cues and stuff like that. So let's use investigation. I'm going to make it. I know your investigation is pretty high, so I'm gonna, but this information is going to be hard for you to kind of pull out. So I'm going to make it a 6.
Okay. Well, let's see if I can do that then. My investigation is a +2. I got 3 brains and that's a 6 on the die. So it's going to be innate.
Wow. That's a yes.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So and I think this kind of makes sense. Like there's been a lot going on right now. And again, there's a lot going through your head, but you can tell me if I'm wrong, but like, I feel like he would be kind of obsessed with trying to figure out who he is because he's, even though technically he's not the root of all of what has been happening, he's been a part of it. And technically he's a reason why you're hurt and why Jane is fighting for her life.
I mean, I don't know that I know that, right? I mean, if he somehow sent, you know, Ace Johnson on this particular trajectory, I don't know that I would have sussed that out necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because to me, you know, before he shot Ace Johnson, he was just some newspaper reporter. I'll leave you a note or leave me a note, you know, whatever it was to be like, oh, yeah. He broke into my house. To be like, well, that's really weird. That's a completely different skill set. Like, who's this guy, you know, after he clearly murdered somebody. I don't think George would necessarily place the blame on him, right? Like, that may be something that happened that I am unaware of as both player and character.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, because you don't know for a fact that he's the one that T-boned the car. You just know that he was there and possibly killed Ace Johnson. Again, he's kind of behind the car, so you don't even know if maybe he even pulled the trigger, really.
Yeah, I don't. There was a lot of things happening in that moment. I mean, he walked around with a gun. I clearly heard a gunshot.
Yeah, so, yeah. And you could see the gun when he was talking to you.
So I assume that he killed him, and he told me he was a bad, you know, like a, I think he said he was a bad person. but I don't even think George would necessarily remember the, you know, what he said specifically, right? Because again, he wasn't no frame of mind. But yeah, if he hit the car again, I don't think he would necessarily make the connection. Maybe he would.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay.
Maybe the longer he stewed on it, maybe. But like, certainly, it's not anything that would have crossed his mind before this moment.
Gotcha.
But I think, like you're saying, he becomes not necessarily obsessed, but like, as he starts to kind of like write stuff down, you know, and he's smoking and he's got his coffee, right? And he's kind of working a little bit now. It pushes some of the other stuff out of his brain and it lets him focus more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily he's obsessed, but it also is streamlining his thinking to some degree.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's some things that you kind of, it's almost like that. Excuse me. It's like that old meme about the beautiful mind where it's like everything is like boom, 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 boom. All these things. I got it all. It's all beep, 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 beep. And it's all matching up. So you think about the fact that DeLuca has come and talked to you, and that this Paul Blanker was this guy that worked for him in the mob or whatever. And that he had this way of being this chameleon, to be able to kind of get in and out of situations and be able to be able, you know, to really not be the same person each time. You kind of think about the fact that the one time where you hurt your head And Dr. Madison, I think that's what his name was. Dr. Madison took you to the hospital. And then a day later, you talk to him and he has no clue what you're talking about. Mm. And then you're thinking about how come this person that wrote you all these notes would know all these different things about what you've been doing and where you've been and stuff like that. And it just makes sense to you that if this guy, who whatever his name is able to be a chameleon and be able to get in and out of you know, certain situations and stuff like that, he's probably been in multiple places that you've been, you hadn't even realized it.
He starts tapping the pen, the pencil on the paper. And I think he like sits back a little bit, you know, kind of absently, you know, grabs a cigarette, takes a big drag, leans back in the chair, and then comes back up a little bit because he leaned a little bit too far, you know, coughs out the smoke at that point. And it's like, son of a bitch, this guy could have been following me all around God knows how long. I wonder if he was the guy that was outside the window taking pictures. And he thinks back to the time that, you know, there was someone outside of the apartment. And then he tries to think back, like he squints and he sort of like looks, you know, cocks his head and like looks out the window. Like, I don't know, did that look like him? But shit, if it, you know, if he's been in all these other places, like I didn't recognize him. So like, I, you know, he could have had a false mustache and a, you know, different hat or whatever, you know. God damn, who is this guy? And then I think he pushes up from the table and goes to the bedroom, pulls out the, you know, little lock box and withdraws his pistol, and he goes and sits back down at the table and, you know, leaves it on the table, and then, you know, goes back to jotting stuff down.
Mm-hmm. Now I can't remember. Have you talked to Brian lately?
I talked to Brian the Monday after, so the past Monday, so like a week ago. So okay. The case with Curtis broke with JJ and he got arrested and everything. And then that following Monday, so this past Monday, we met for breakfast and, you know, he shared a bunch of information with me, you know, about how stuff transpired and whatever. So that's probably it. I mean, unless he, I mean, I don't think he would have necessarily stopped in while I was in the hospital. It was 2-3 days, would have been like late Friday night. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I was released.
Yeah. So let's say that, you're just kind of, you're in your own head. You're jotting stuff down. You're just kind of thinking about life and the phone rings.
I don't think he realizes like for the post, like it rings once. And it doesn't catch him. And then it rings again. And it, like his head kind of snaps up. And he goes and, you know, grabs the phone and he says, Armstrong here.
And you hear O'Shea on the other end and he says, George, you're alive.
Hey, Brian, how's it going? Yeah, I made it through just a couple of cracked ribs. Jane's not doing too good, though. She's still in the hospital.
I've heard.
Oh, no, I lie. I called him from the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Right. I called him from the hospital to be like, hey, you got to fix this shit for me. What the fuck?
I thought you had actually had.
Yeah. My bad.
Okay.
We didn't talk. Right. Like, hey, I'm in the hospital. Can you fix this? They had me fucking handcuffed to a bed. He's like, I'll work on it.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. I don't think that really changes the conversation right now. So that's okay. He says, we're all praying for her for a speedy recovery down here.
I appreciate that.
And then he, you know, he pauses long and then he kind of, it's like he's trying to process like something in his head. And he says, is there anything you want to talk about?
There's an almost equally as long pause. He says, what does he say? I don't think he would be cagey necessarily. No, he's not. He's not at all. He says, maybe I'm in a bit of a tight fix. Not so much with the Johnson thing. Hopefully they get that squared away. But I had a visit in my office today. I figured I'd stop by. I got out of the hospital, make sure, you know, everything's okay over there. And DeLuca was in my office.
Another long pause happens.
Not what he was expecting.
Yeah, exactly. And then you almost hear him say to himself, you almost hear him say, no, 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 George, no, no, George, George. And he says, okay, out with it. What happened?
Well, maybe you go first. If that wasn't it, then I don't know what's going on. What else do we have to talk about?
No, he's like, oh, believe me, whatever is going on, this is definitely more important than what I have.
Ah, shit. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's good. I don't know. So I probably would have called you anyway. The guy who wrote the article about the Abrams case, Paul Blanker, he was at the fight that night that I got picked up when we rescued Mary from Maddie and Jackson. I mean, legit reporter, right? He's got, you know, names the byline on a paper. DeLuca comes in, you know, he's there when I get there. It says, you know, that this Paul Blanker guy is some kind of chameleon. He was working for him for a little bit and killed some of his guys. Turns out this Paul Blanker was leaving notes in my apartment, left a note in Jane's apartment. I don't know who the hell he is. It's crazy. He wants me to find him so they could, take care of things.
Another long pause. You can hear him scribbling away on something. And then
it's got to be between you and me.
He gets very quiet and he says, don't I know that, George?
I hear you scribbling.
He says,
somebody finds that, I'm in a world of shit. I'm already in a world of shit.
And he's like, he kind of giggles and he's like, I think more than you would even know at this point.
Don't say stuff like that. I just got out of the hospital.
Well, hey, I tell it like it is. You know that. He's just like, boy, I could lose my job for this. I'm going to help you.
I mean, I appreciate the help, Ryan. Believe me, but I don't want to put you in a bad way. You got a wife and all them kids.
He says, you don't understand, George. DeLuca goes down. We don't have to worry about as much in this city as you think we would.
He's not the only guy.
He isn't, but he's definitely the bigger fish.
I mean, if you say so, they're all the same to me. They're all big fish to me.
So he says, you know what? I think I need some breakfast. You need some breakfast?
He looks at the plate on the table and he's like, sure. Yeah. I could meet you. Where do you want to go?
Boy, I can come up with a name in 20 seconds, but then you think it's a place I could come up with. He says, McGinley's on 3rd Street. Best breakfast.
All right. Sounds good. I'll meet you there. And, you know, he does a mental assessment. Like, where am I in relation to the 30s? So I'll meet you in like 20 minutes.
And he says, I'll see you then. And then without even saying goodbye, he clicks the phone.
He like pulls the phone away from his ear and sort of like looks at it for a minute and sort of like, you know, very slowly and thoughtfully hangs up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he stands up from the table and kind of looks down at the ripped, bloody, crumpled clothes. But he's clean, right? He was cuffed to the bed, but I'm just wondering if he has had an opportunity to shower.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say like maybe somebody cleaned you up. I don't know if you'd have clean clothes, though. You'd have to actually, well, you'd have clean clothes in your house, but yeah, you'd have to change what you have. But yeah, otherwise, I think you would be cleaned up at least.
Okay. So then he grabs the pistol off the table and goes into the bedroom, you know, strips down, you know, washes his face, you know, maybe brushes his teeth. And then, you know, gets all new clothes, you know, gets the shoulder holster, puts the gun on, which is a little bit tricky because, you know, you got to like get an arm up in there to, mm-hmm. so like, he's trying to like not lift the arm and sort of like pull the, and it's for right handed, right? Like, cause he's right handed. So the holster mm-hmm. fits under his left. So he's like, it is what it is. Right. Yeah, gets himself all situated and then, hail a cab and head over to McGinley's.
Yeah, you make it there in a decent amount of time. Brian is actually sitting before you even get there, is there before you get there kind of thing.
I look at my watch to make sure I'm not super late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're all good. He's just earlier than you are. And he says, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I thought you were pausing for me.
No, I actually muted so I could burp. So yeah, he's you sit down or whatever, and he says, you know, two coffees and two specials. And he's like, he doesn't even ask you what you want, because he's like, you could tell he's like, the special is what you're gonna want.
And I'm not super hungry at this point, but like, it's, you know, it's whatever.
yeah, for sure. So she comes out with like two black coffees, eggs benedict, a couple of pieces of bacon, a couple of small pancakes, nothing too big, you know, depending upon what you want to do. That's what you can do. You know, or you can eat as much as you want, obviously, because he's the one that's buying or whatever. So
So I come in. Yeah, sits down. He orders. You know, I immediately light a cigarette. You know, kind of push the ashtray over to the edge of the table. So it's not like sitting between us or whatever. And he says, you know, I was worried enough when I walked into the office. You got me a little scared now, Brian. What's going on?
He says, you know, that thing that you saw when you, now I have to remember if you told him these things. Okay. Let's go back in time. Let's try to recollect some things. So when DeLuca and you, when you saw DeLuca and,
Biotti,
my brain. Yes. Biotti, at the boxing match, did you tell Brian about it all? I know this is like, I should know these things. I shouldn't have to ask you these things. And this is a while ago.
It is a while ago. He wouldn't have had a reason not to.
Okay. Let's say this, if that's what you think, then we're going to say that it's that regardless of what happened in the past.
I think so. Like, I don't know that it specifically came up. Right. Cause he's like, hey, what the fuck's going on? Like, you're arrested in an illegal boxing match. Like, hey, I'm trying to get in here and find this, you know, this situation, blah, 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 whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think as a conversation arranged, he may have. I don't know that we specifically did, but there would be no reason to hide it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So he's like, that meeting that those two had was going to be something where both families were going to come together and have an agreement and be kind of one entity kind of thing. He says, that has been something that's been trying to get on the table for a while now. And now it's gone south. I think part of it has to do with some of DeLuca's and some of Biotti's guys being taken out, and the fact that neither family has claimed responsibility for what's happened to either family's guys. It's the tension is kind of built up, and there's a God for the back of the lack of a better term, like mob war on the horizon.
Oh, that won't be good for anybody.
Exactly.
Well, I guess that kind of makes sense. They said that Johnson's partner was killed. Did they ever find a body? I mean, if they didn't find the body, could it be that this Paul Blanker is an undercover FBI agent? I mean, if they caught wind that they were going to try to merge two of the biggest families in New York into one huge mob, if they had a guy on the inside that could cause this sort of, problems between them, it kind of makes sense. I mean, I tell you, Brian, this guy broke into my apartment, broke into Jane's apartment, is leaving me notes all over the place. I mean, he almost knew what was going on with me before I knew what was going on with me. Who else is going to know that? Not some mob guy.
And he kind of like shakes his head a little bit. He says that sounds really reasonable. That sounds like a good train of thought. And he, you know, he's just madly scribbling on his little notebook or whatever. And he says, okay, so I know this is going to be hard for you to do, but I would like for you to tell me everything that you know about DeLuca and his goings on?
It's a short conversation, Brian. I really don't know. As much as your previous employees, coworkers suspected, I brought, so my last year I was working that Woodard case. That kid got killed. Marcus Woodard. His sister got all bent out of shape. The PD said that it was suicide. It was clear that it wasn't suicide, and she saw it. She hired me. DeLuca's goons, John Costa, he's been killed. I guess Johnson killed him. And then the other guy that broke into my office, he's dead too. He got killed at the boxing match. So those two guys are no longer with us. Rest in peace. They came in, they roughed me up, sent me to the hospital, gave me a concussion, told me that I had to meet with DeLuca. That's where that picture got snapped. And he just wanted me to continue my investigation, which was something that I was already doing. And he wanted to be apprised of the situation. Turns out that the Woodard kids were DeLuca's children, but they were being raised by Biotti. Their mom was playing with fire, I guess. One bad guy wasn't enough. She had to take on two. So he had a vested interest in the case, I guess you could say. But it was never anything more than that. And I try to stay clear of any of that kind of business because it's way above my pay grade, if you know what I mean. And then just what he told me this morning, this Paul Blanker guy or whatever his name is, was working for him, did a good job, said, he took care of things, kind of like air quotes, nods his head, like vigorously takes care of things. And then he sent him out on a couple of jobs with some of his guys. The guys didn't come back. Blanker came back and, now he's disappeared. It's all I got. It's not a lot.
So then, so he's still like really jotting stuff down or whatever. And he says, all right, well, let's go back to this Paul Blanker character. So you say that, obviously I actually know that he is a writer for the paper. I know that he's actually covered some high profile cases. To me, it makes sense that, being part of the media or whatever opens a lot of doors for you.
That's what DeLuca said.
I don't like that you just roped me into the same mindset as Antonio DeLuca.
I'm just saying,
Mm-hmm. Great minds think alike, I guess. And then he says, it's interesting. Why would he be working for the mob and then working also as a writer? That just, to me, now putting the two and two together as far as him being an undercover FBI agent, that just seems odd to me.
Yeah, right. Guy working three jobs. Who the hell needs that? Hard enough time doing one.
Yeah, for sure. And the fact that he hasn't been like discovered until now, to me, it's just, it's interesting. And he keeps scribbling while you talk.
I mean, if he was an FBI guy, he would know what to do and what not to do to get himself caught, right? And if the FBI knew he was going to be there, the FBI could lean on the police. You didn't see this. You don't know nothing. It gives them a lot of leeway, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, like you say, with the paper. I don't know. What would be the point? We could maybe get a hold of the folks over. I forget the name of the papers. Is it the Gazette? I don't even fucking remember.
I think it's the New York Gazette, I think.
I have the page up. I probably should have just looked at the page before I interrupted the whole podcast.
That's okay.
For the New York Gazette. Yep. Right at the top of the page.
Perfect. Perfect.
We could get a hold of the managing editor over there at the New York Gazette, see when this guy started, right? Maybe you could track down the name. You got more access than I do as far as that. Is that a real name? How long has he been in New York? What's the paper trail look like? And outside of that, I don't know. How do you find a guy that doesn't want to be found,
Yeah, that's true. He's scribbling more stuff down. So he's like, okay. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to rest up. I'm going to track down this Paul Blanker. I'm going to call the Gazette. I'm going to try to get all that I can. But let's just say that he is an FBI agent. I'm going to have to be a little more coy with why I'm looking into Mr. Blanker than me just calling up and being like, hey, police, give me your information.
Ah, shit, you want me to do it? I don't want you to get in trouble.
I don't think I'm worried about that as much.
Well, I don't want you to get hurt neither.
Well, the thing is, this job comes with certain dangers, and my wife and kids know exactly what they're getting into.
Yeah, but I don't want that to be on account of me. I already got Jane in the hospital. I don't want anything to happen to you neither.
And he kind of laughs or whatever. He says, George, are you getting sweet on me?
Look, you know what I mean.
And he giggles and he says, I understand. He's like, don't worry, ain't no problem for me. I would rather look into it than you, because you right now, you're a little more worse for wear. And I've got all my ribs intact.
I mean, that's fair enough. Doctor wanted me to take a month off. You believe that?
I believe him saying that, or them saying that, but I definitely know you won't listen to it. But I will say this, as I always say, be careful.
Yeah, of course, you know me.
So you know, by this time, you know, you guys have already, you know, eaten, God, I hate that, eaten your breakfast and, had, you know, a lengthy conversation. So he's like, yep. So I'm going to get on it. I got to get going. I also have other things to do. I actually have a job other than helping you out. So I will do this. Yeah. But he says, you think of anything at all, you have both numbers. You have my personal number. You have my number at work. Please let me know if you find anything.
Yeah. 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 You'll be the first one.
Or if you remember something else.
Maybe somebody else hits me in the head, they'll jog something loose.
I think you've had enough bumps to the brain.
Yeah, for a lifetime.
Mm, haven't Look, we
you'll
all?
Be safe. If you need anything, you call me. Don't hesitate.
Will do.
Before he gets up, I kind of like lean forward and just sort of like look around, like unobtrusively. You know, it would just be the thing that he would do. Not that I'm necessarily looking for a role for anything, but...
Yeah, actually, roll me a brains roll.
Is it a awareness check? Is it what I'm doing?
Yes.
Is that what I'm doing?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. You would.
Yeah. That one's not as great. It's only a 5.
Okay. Yeah. There's nobody or there's nothing to worry about. I just wanted you to roll just to see what you got.
What was my DL? Am I getting an XP for this?
Shit.
2. It was a 2.
Yes. Yes. And you get an XP. I don't care.
He pays for breakfast and leaves a nice tip.
Nice. And your waitress is like very, very excited about it.
Oh, thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Yeah. Thanks. You too. This was really good.
Oh, thank you. We pride ourselves on our breakfast.
I'll make sure I spread the word.
Will do, sir. And again, have a great day.
Thanks. And he throws the stub of his cigarette into the coffee cup, you know, after a minute or two, follow Brian out. He'll have been gone, but you know, wait. So
yeah.
So is it like late afternoon, like into the evening? Like this was like breakfast, dinner or dinner breakfast.
Well, let's see. Now I'm wondering. I'm like, crap. My timeline is off in my head.
No, because so they released me in the morning ish as I went out for breakfast when I left. Then I went back to the office.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you've been through a lot.
Depending on what time they let me out, right?
It's not let's say
6.
Yeah. Let's say it's like early evening.
Okay.
So you had an early supper.
Yeah. Breakfast or dinner is awesome at any time. So.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that he thinks about going to the Glow, and then, you know, the pills sort of jangle in his coat pocket, you know, kind of like rattle together. And he's like, all right. So he hails a cab and he goes home, tries to do the responsible thing. He hasn't even been out of the hospital for 24 hours yet.
Yeah. Well, you're probably a better man than most people. Most people would be like, fuck it. I got pills. I got drinks. Let's do this thing, you know? So.
Yeah. So I think he heads home. He's a little bit more cautious when he enters this time. Like he gets out of the cab, you know, turns to pay the cab. He kind of like looks, you know, again, sort of unobtrusively. He's not like looking around, you know, like, okay, I'm looking for you. But, you know, just kind of like glances up and down the street, like, you know, takes out a cigarette, lights it, and kind of like turns his head away, you know, it's like, you know, from the breeze or whatever. and you know, just kind of making sure that things look copacetic, that they feel copacetic. Same thing when he gets to the apartment, you know, he does like the look check. He kind of very lightly turns the handle, make sure the door's still locked, unbuttons his coat before walking in, you know, flips on the light by the door. Just, you know, I need to be cautious now.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks because like, this is my place and it should be safe. And it's clearly not.
Yeah. So like, you don't feel like anything's been jostled or anything like that. Nothing feels out of place. Actually, you know what? Roll me a awareness check.
Good.
We're going to have the DLB a six.
I got a six exactly. 5 + 1. So yes, okay. Yes, but.
So you feel like the keyhole has been tampered with. You just don't know how. But otherwise, everything else looks like it's just fine.
But my key slid into the door. The door, like, it worked and everything.
Yes, correct.
He will, you know, he comes in and closes the door. So I guess he sees it when he puts the key in. Maybe it's got a little extra wiggle or, you know, looks like it's got a scratch on it or whatever.
Yeah.
So he goes in, you know, kind of sweeps two rooms of his apartment or whatever, goes back, locks the door, throws the deadbolt or whatever, and then takes a chair from the little kitchenette table and underneath the knob.
Nice. Yeah. So you look around, nothing really looks amiss at first glance. You decide, you know, you get it in your head to grab that chair, put it against the doorknob. Obviously that'd be a great thing to do because it'll keep somebody from coming in, but also if they try to break through, it'll make a lot of noise. And you think, God, it's been a long day. Maybe I should just make a pot of coffee or maybe something a little stronger. And you see a note by your coffee maker.
God, son of a bitch. So I think when he swept the room, he probably had taken the pistol out. So he just puts it down on the table, goes over, snatches the note from next to the coffee maker.
Yeah.
And rips, you know, pulls the envelope open, you know, shakes the letter out. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And it only has three letters on the note and it says tag, you're it.
It would technically be five letters.
Well, technically it'd be four letters. Tag, you are it. Tag, you are it. Four letters.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't know. Whatever.
I think we're both wrong.
Neither one of us can count. I think he angrily crumples the note up and then like he's getting ready to throw it. He's like, ah. And then he pulls it back out and he puts it on a table and he spreads it all back out again. Like this could be evidence.
Yeah, that's great. That's funny too, because I was kind of hoping you'd do that. I had that in my head, like, ooh, uncrumple it, save it for later. I love it. yeah. So now once again, you know that Paul Blinker is watching you. To what extent you don't know from that weird cryptic letter, but you can tell it. Well, it's not that cryptic. It's basically him saying, come find me.
Right. He does. He deep sigh. He does that. this evening is probably cool. So he leaves the window closed. He's God, like, he's annoyed, but he's not like agitated. Right. And I think he goes and he gets a shower. Like, what am I going to? What about like, he'll look around to make sure that there's not any other signs of anything, you know, dirt on the floor. Like, oh, that dirt can only be found at the fucking whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he'll just kind of like glance around and see if he, you know, made any mistakes, if he left anything else here, you know, like, is it the same yellow paper? So he brought the note with him, wrote it, not here. Like, he didn't open up my drawer and like take out a pad of paper and like write the note or whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely the same paper that you've seen every single time he's wrote it for you.
Okay. Makes sense.
You kind of look around and you don't really see anything that you're like, I wish there was something there that, you know, he would have done to, you know, made a mistake. You almost, when you're doing this, looking around, you almost realize that your place looks a little more cleaned up than you're used to. So you realize that Paul Blinker is very careful when he comes in. I'd also like you to roll me another brains check. I'm not going to have any other skills or whatever, and I'm just going to have you roll a brains roll with a deal of three.
Two sixes and a five.
Nice. So you
and I know where he is.
Nice. Game over. God, everything's so easy all the time. You remember that there's all these kind of tricks and stuff like that to keep people from, or to alert you from people breaking into your house and stuff like that. And this is like, a lot of it's like when you're here kind of thing, you know, when you're around kind of thing. So like, even though he's left the note and, you know, there might be a possibility he won't come back, there's not a guarantee of that. So you think with, you know, the one of your, you know, let's just say you have a few windows in your house and you decide that you're going to take some of your picture frames and you're going to place them not in front of the window, but just to the side of the window where the picture frame kind of meets the frame of the window. So if somebody were to try to come in through the window, that it would knock the frame off, make a noise, and you'd be alerted to that.
Okay. I would imagine there's probably only like one or two he could get into coming up the fire escape because I'm in an apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's up to you. Like, I know you said one before. So like, if it's one, that's fine.
Like, I imagine, like, in my head canon, like, he's got a window above the sink in the kitchen area. Right. And then one wall is the door cut to the hallway. And then the other two walls are to the, there might be one in the bedroom too, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
And a little one in the bathroom, probably.
Yeah.
So maybe three total. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you find old picture frames of Evie and you're like, well, it's not really going to matter if it falls and breaks. It'll just be a symbol of our relationship.
Right.
Just kidding. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, he would throw something. So right, like if the window was somehow jimmied, right? Because he makes sure that everything's locked before he goes to bed or you know, gets in the shower, like, begins to get ready for, you know, the end of the night. Yeah. And then what would the end be? I mean, I almost don't want to say, and he doesn't show up, because if he shows up, like, maybe that's useful. Regardless of my preparations, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So I will you and say that that's a good idea, because I wasn't planning on him having to stop by tonight.
Oh, but then that's like a cheap end. Like, that's not even like a good end. Man. It's like just wasting it.
Well, hey. All ants can't be just great all the time. You know, there's got to be some okay ones. But again, it's not my and. So if you want to do something else, you can.
How about I get a restful night's sleep?
Hey, I think that that's a great idea. So like, to tell you, you know, we've talked about this. You know, you've got all these injuries. You kind of wheeze a little bit when you are just kind of sitting around and stuff like that. You walk around every once in a while and you just kind of, oh, you know, and let's say you took your pills in a good succession to where like maybe you just took some like just after dinner. And now as you're going to bed, it just nicely kicks in and you don't feel as much pain as you should. And you get a nice rest, get a good night's rest without any disturbing nightmares to wake you up in the middle of the night.
Dig it. Yeah, so he goes through the whole, you know, you take a shower and get all the stuff and get a good night's sleep. That's great. Gets up. So he wouldn't set an alarm. Like, I just spent a couple of days in the hospital, some of them unconscious. So he just kind of gets up whenever he gets up. He, you know, probably told, you know, Janice, I'll see you tomorrow, but just sort of open-endedly, like, I'll show up at some point. Yeah, he gets up, goes through his, you know, like morning routine, probably slept with the pistol under the pillow. I think he would take it out from under the pillow, you know, maybe take it out into the kitchen and then not necessarily forget about it, but also like, you know, it's not like right by my hand sort of thing. Like it's in the room. If push came to show, like someone would have to like break down the door to get in at this point or whatever. But like, it's a very uncomfortable situation to know that you are working for the mob and some guy who's killed like a bunch of people keeps breaking into my house, to my apartment. So yeah, it's almost like a blankie at this point. Like he just has like the pistol is around and yeah, like he, you know, makes breakfast, you know, morning smoke, you know, the whole nine yards. He would call Brian's desk. As something new has happened, you know, it was just a quick check-in, like, hey, he was here again, left me a note, you know,
I'm going to roll to see if he's actually gotten some information or not. Okay.
What time is it? I guess that might determine some of that, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you say it's maybe about 8:30.
Sure.
I feel like he's not a super late sleeper, but like considering the circumstances.
Yeah. Now I'm trying 9:30? To think of like how, yeah, I'm trying to think about how long he's been working and how much he's actually going to be put into looking into some things. So, yeah. So he's like, George, I have a little bit of information for you.
Oh yeah. Go shoot. What do you got?
Yeah. So he's like, so I talked to the Gazette. He's been there for about 5 years. Huh. So not recent. So that almost makes me lead to believe that he's not an FBI guy. Because if he was, I would assume that he'd only be there for roughly about 6 months to a year, especially if he's deep undercover. Yeah, exactly. He gets his check sent to a P.O. box.
You got that number? Well, I guess maybe they wouldn't tell you that, would they?
He says, I would have to go a little higher up in the chain of command to get that information. Okay. But he says, but the Gazette has no idea where he lives. You would obviously know that the P.O. box is not where he lives. So he's just like, obviously he's covering a lot of bases. And I feel like if we're going to find this guy, we're really going to have to dig.
Well, I don't know. He practically lives at my place. He was here again yesterday while we were at dinner.
And he just, you could hear him kind of like get mad. He's just kind of like, son of a, he says.
He left me a note. All it said was tag, you're it.
You know what? I've decided I don't like this guy very much.
Well, he hasn't done nothing to me. So, I mean, he's broken into my place. Michael, he hasn't done anything. But like, I don't know. I mean, he could have been the one that hit us. Oh, son of a bitch. I didn't, so much stuff going on at that time. I didn't, never occurred to me. He was there. Oh, I didn't tell you that. So when Johnson was taking us back to my place, I was able to get free. So I punched him, right? I mean, I didn't let him kill us. I punched him. Like, I got him twice. I got him really good. But when we went through the intersection, a car hit us and we flipped and rolled. That's how we got hurt. And I drug Jane out of the car. And then there was I heard two shots. And then Blanker was there. And he said, I don't have to worry about Johnson anymore. But I'm just thinking about it now. He might have been the one that hit us. And he's kind of like rubbing his side, like as he's, you know, kind of processing all this new information that's just occurred to him.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't say, I don't remember. God, it all happened so fast. And then he said something about, you know, leave me a note. And then I realized it was him leaving the notes. And then he was gone and the ambulance came and Buddy was asking me questions. I didn't tell him about Blanker because I don't know. I just didn't tell him. I if he killed Johnson, it helped me out. But if he crashed the car and did that to Jane, then I don't know, Brian. I mean, I don't know if you're going to want to be in on me with this if that's what happened.
He kind of thinks a little bit and he says, okay, so we're trying to find this Blanker character. You didn't realize that this Blanker character is probably the one that caused this accident. Now I'm almost wondering if by proxy of telling Buttig what you remember now, if that can't put some pressure on Blanker to show himself.
Maybe. I mean, I don't think they're going to be any too happy thinking maybe was told withholding information.
Well, he kind of thinks about it and he's like, well, you didn't necessarily withhold information. Remember, you were in a life-altering car accident. And sometimes when things happen like that, there's only bits and starts that we remember. And the fact that you even remembered enough to tell Buttig about what happened that night, I mean, kudos to you. I don't think he would be mad about you withholding information. Now, that being said, maybe you withhold some information and you say that you met this Paul Blanker when you were doing your investigation for the kidnapping of your buddy's girl and Max Sullivan. then you say that you see this guy again and that it doesn't make sense to you. Again, just because you're withholding something sometimes doesn't mean it's a bad thing. And you're kind of a little shocked by him saying those things to you. Because for Brian, you feel that he's kind of a Boy Scout. He's, you know, he's one of those guys that's kind of a straight shooter. He doesn't really do anything that you know of that would lean on the right side, a wrong side of things. And it's just interesting that he went that way with it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I mean, when I tell him that he was there and he left, that he's leaving me notes that he put two slugs into Johnson. I mean, and even if I tell him he was there, I mean, what would be the relevance? There's a lot of people there at the time, right? I mean, and if something were to happen to Mr. Blanker, doesn't that make me a suspect then? I mean, shit, they kept me handcuffed to a bed 3 days and two of them I was unconscious.
And you can tell he's quiet for a little bit or whatever. And he kind of thinks about it and he's like, yeah, I guess you're kind of right. He says, the only thing I'm worried about now is the fact that if you're withholding this stuff now, not just a couple of things, but all of it, and then this Paul Blanker ends up being the guy that gets caught, how that's going to look for you regardless.
There's a long pause.
Yeah, yeah. And he kind of chimes in and he says, well, I suppose if they don't know all the information, then maybe not all of it comes out. So maybe him being a hitman for the mob or, you know, shows up. Maybe, you know, if he's an FBI agent, maybe that doesn't come out. I mean, it's whatever, whoever's in charge decides what they want to spin.
Well, Johnson was working for Biotti. He was killing us for Biotti. It didn't make any sense. He was half crazed when he was driving. I don't really know what the hell he was talking about. I mean, Spirinu told me that his partner got killed by DeLuca. He went crazy, killed Costa. I really don't know what any of this has to do with me. I mean, he was hell-bent to leather that I help him, you know, put DeLuca away or wear a wire, some crazy shit. And I told him absolutely not. You know, I'm a small fish in a really big pond. That's not the, I didn't want to put myself into that situation. So then, you know, he kidnaps me and Jane, and, you know, maybe he's trying to take it out on us, but then he's babbling about working for Biotti and he's going to do, you know, he's going to help out his boss and this and that, and he's going to deliver the corpses. Like, I tell us, how the hell would I be on Biotti's radar? God, Brian, this is spinning way out of control here.
Well, there's so many long pauses in this one. So he does the same thing. He just, long pause, and he says, well, I guess we just sit tight with the information that we have and just keep digging. I want to ask you one question.
Is this in character or out of character?
This is in character.
Okay.
That's funny because, yeah, I didn't even really specify it, so I understand why that seemed kind of weird. But he says, Brian says, how do you see this all shaking out?
Boy, Brian, I got to tell you, I don't know. If this guy is as much of a chameleon as DeLuca thinks he is, and has proved himself to be, I guess. I only ever seen him, know him as Paul Blanker. He could get next to me at any point. I would never even see it coming. If we could find him, I mean, if you could collar him, I mean, that's great for you, I guess, depending on what his deal is. If DeLuca finds him, I don't know, maybe he gets what's coming to him. If he's the one to put Jane in the hospital, DeLuca might not ever see him again.
And Brian kind of stews a little bit about it again. And he says, I think we have a lot to think about. I know I do.
That's all I've been doing.
And he says, well, I guess nothing is going to happen if we just keep toddling back and forth between each other. So I should probably get back to it.
All right. If anything else happens, I'll let you know.
Okay. All right. Take care of yourself.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Bye.
See ya. And I think he calls the hospital just to check in to see if Jane's awake.
Okay.
I don't know if that would, I've never called the hospital. If it goes to like a general reception and then they would transfer it to the room, like, because the person at the desk would know if she was awake or not awake or,
yeah.
Right. They can look at the directory and see she's in the ICU or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah. Let's just say you're looking for, you're looking for her. And do you, well, here's a question. Do you look for an update on her? Do you want to be transferred to her room? Like, how do you phrase it?
I would just be looking for an update. So I guess if that would be in the record, well, they wouldn't have computers then.
Mm-mm.
The fuck did they do all the way back then?
They probably just wrote it down. They probably just had like books that had updates and stuff like that. And they probably just looked at like a sheet of paper that says, oh, what's going on with this person?
Yeah,
because in ER, they always have like those little clipboards in the front of the thing, and they look and go, oh, you've got this and this and this, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you would probably put me on hold and then like page a doctor or a nurse on the, the attending nurse or doctor or whatever.
For sure.
To see.
Yeah, for sure.
He'd just be looking for an update. Is she awake? Is she stable? Is she the same? That's really all he's looking for. Because if her mom is there, he doesn't want to
put her
in
so,
the situation to...
Yeah. For sure. So the doctor comes on, and I can't remember. I think I made up a doctor name, but let's just say her doctor, so the same as what you had or whatever, answers the phone and says, can I ask who's calling?
Yeah, it's George Armstrong. Just calling to see how Jane's doing.
And since it hasn't been that long since you've been there, he kind of recollects. He's like, ah, Mr. Armstrong, you're... And he tries to tiptoe around it, and he says, ah, your girlfriend, yes, she has stirred, she is awake.
Oh, no kidding. How's she make it out?
He kind of like pauses a little bit, and he's like, yeah, it's still a little touch and go with her. It's she's the word I always like to, or the phrase I always like to use is on the mend. So
oh, that's great. Is her mom there? I'd like to come in and see her, but I don't want to upset her mom if she's there. I mean, I don't even know if he would know, but he would ask, right? Like that would be the...
Yeah, for sure. What time is it now? It's pretty late, isn't it?
It's got to be pushing 10, right? So I got up at like 9:30, all my shit together, call Brian.
For sure. Yeah. So let's say that she says, or that he says that it's actually past visitors' hours. And that if you were to want to see her, you'd have to see her in the morning.
Well, it's 10 in the morning.
Oh, 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
Wait, we're
in morning.
Well, that because you got to sleep and stuff like that. Oh, my God. Time is a construct. I don't know what's going on. I'm so sorry. It's been a long week already. And it's only Tuesday in my world, our world.
I think it's actually so Tuesday in this world, too.
yeah. Apparently. And he's like, I was going to roll to see if she was there. And he says, no, it looks like her mom has taken a day of rest for her. Oh, no, because if she's stirred and it's recent, she would still be there. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I'd be like, well, let's say this. Let's say at the moment she isn't here, she's on a lunch or a breakfast run or something like that. She actually wanted to get Jane some breakfast from one of her favorite places or something like that. So she's not there at the moment.
But she'd be back before he got.
Yeah. Cause I have a feeling she wouldn't leave her side. So
no, especially not if she was just up there. Now she would probably be there the whole night.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, why did I just roll for that? Of course she'd still be there.
I'm trying to think whether or not it'd be feasible to like call her in the room, right? Because I know one of her wrists is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how. So he just asked them. So he says, would it be possible to call up to the room?
And he says, it always is possible. I will just warn you, if it rings a few times and she does not answer, then she will not be willing to talk to anybody around now. And that probably has nothing to do with you, has everything to do with her.
Yeah. Could you transfer me? Look, I don't know if she's going to answer, but could you let her know that I'm thinking about her?
And he says, if I will, I'll send the note regardless.
All right. Thanks, Doc. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So he says, I'll transfer you. So he transfers you to the room. You get a few rings and then the receiver is picked up.
He's sweaty. He's so sweaty right now.
and you hear a very tiny, a very hoarse voice say, "Hello,
Jane, baby, how you doing? It's George.
George,
the doc just told me you were up. I had to call."
And she says,
"Feels like a nightmare."
Yeah, it definitely is. Fuck, I don't even know what to say.
That's what I'm doing too. I was just like,
I think he just says, "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry."
And like you say it a few times or whatever, and she kind of like at the end of it, she just goes, "Don't." And then you kind of hear her cough a little bit, and you hear kind of moan a little bit too, like, you know, something hurts. And then he says,
winces. Like he physically winces on his side of the phone.
Yeah. And she says, "Can't talk, pain."
Yeah. I understand. I wanted to come in, but your mom's she's a little upset. I didn't want to cause her any more pain than she already has. But I'm thinking about you.
And she says, "Thank you." And then she hesitates a little bit, and then she says, "George."
Yeah. What is it?
And she says, "Give me time."
I understand.
And then she says, "Docs, docs." I can't even do that because it's making me clear my own throat. She says, "Doc soon."
Okay. You rest. You rest as much as you need.
And then she says,
"Rest." Okay.
And then before you can even like kind of end the call, she hangs up.
I think as she hangs up, I think he whispers so she can't hear it then, right? Because she's already hanging up on him. You know, "I love you," as she hangs up the phone. And then he just like holds the, you know, like the receiver to his head, you know, just has his eyes closed, just kind of like shaking his head, just like, this is the worst.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.